Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we are back, and we're going to go right to the phones. And joining us from Tightline Outdoors, because Nate is off somewhere playing hooky. Who knows what he's doing? But we are very pleased to have Dustin Sigler. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great, and sometimes it's a break not to have Nate on. He wears me out. No, I'm just kidding. We love Nate. We love Nate. Nate's great. Nate's been a contributor for, gosh, he's been doing a regular segment every Saturday for I don't know how long, and he needs a break too. But I didn't get a chance to talk to you ahead of time, but from the notes, you were probably listening about what I said about the weather and the slow changes, and we're going to be heading into some walleye fishing here on the Front Range of Colorado that's just going to continue to get better, at least for numbers, as we go on through. And I know you're going to talk about that. But even before that, I know you used to spend a lot of time on Lake McConaughey, Big Mac. What a tremendous walleye fishery. And I'm hearing that we might be headed into a great period out there right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's actually, it's been a great period for the last probably 20 years. A solid average when you're talking snow. The bite out there has been solid for probably the last 2 weeks or so, and it's still good right now that they're in that peak spawn period at McConaughey, and it's really no surprise, honestly. A lot of anglers know about it. It's no secret, I guess I should have said, and the ability to target those fish, join the parade of boats and shore anglers, and you really have a excellent opportunity at very good quality fish.
Yeah, McConaughey has tremendous biomass, not only numbers of fish, but it has some great size fish. There's some big fish in that lake too. This time of the year, do you see more of those big fish, or is it just kind of all over the board?
Oh, it's all over the board. They did fish surveys out there in Nebraska, and it's holding top three in the state for size range of, the average being that 23 to 25 inch fish, which is just incredible. And alewife populations, of course, feeding those fish bellies full, to say the least. And so when you're out there, your males, of course, are most aggressive, and you're going to catch just tons and tons of those. The most interesting thing that I'd like to note is just when you are standing on the rocks, if you don't have a boat and you're not in that parade of boats, just watching the fish below you at your feet. There's hundreds and hundreds of walleye spawning right there. And oftentimes I'll set my rod down and just spotlight and watch these fish. It's a beautiful sight to see. It honestly is. It's incredible.
It's a lake that's it's probably a 3-4 hour drive here from here. And it's well worth making the trip out there. In fact, the folks from McConaughey every so often join the show as a regular contributor, and I think in a couple of weeks they're going to come on and do some regular things with us, so we'll keep people updated. But we just want to let you know, folks, if you're planning a trip and you don't want to drive too far, it's one of the premier walleye lakes in the United States, certainly worth going out there. If you were headed out there in the next week or two, what technique would you use?
We're going to see, usually beginning of May, we start to see these fish kind of move off the dam and kind of enter that post-spawn period. As of right now, though, if I'm heading out there, I'm going on the dam. I'm going to spend my time in the evening casting from shore, whether it's jerk baits or curly tail grubs or something like that, or trolling those. Statter wraps seem to be great. Your original husky jerks, even flicker shads, believe it or not, catch fish right there on the dam when you're trolling them along. Just note that there is a direction and a flow of traffic on that dam. So when you're trolling down it, you're going from the south end to the north end. Once you make your pass, you have to pull out of line, basically, and then run your boat back and kind of start over. That's kind of the system they have. But I'd like to mention, too, in May out there, they see their best numbers for master angler walleye being caught, and that's that post-spawn period when a lot of these fish start making a mass migration and just kind of fan out on the north shorelines. But they're typically anywhere from 30 to 40 feet deep, and making that migration run down that north shoreline. And a mass majority of master anglers, and actually most of them, it's just the fact that they get caught in May, and that's probably one of your best times at a master angler walleye there at Lake McConaughey.
All right. Well, let's move on to what's going on right here. I know you guys at Tightline, you do a lot of walleye guide trips up and down the Front Range. I don't know if you heard me talking earlier, but I know everybody hears cold front and cold weather and they're walleye fishing in the spring and their jaw tightens up and they panic. But when the weather is, even if it's stable at 45 degrees for a long period of time and then gradually warming, it doesn't have the same effect as when you just get that crash in temperature. What are you guys seeing out there and what do you see over the next few weeks?
Yeah, our fish right now, I'd say 80% of them or more really are in a post-spawn stage. We still have, some males that are in shallow, of course. They're going to hang out there a couple weeks following that. But in the next 2 weeks, really 1 week, based on the 10-day forecast, we're going to see a lot of fish start to really get into a, early summer pattern or early summer transition where they'll migrate and they start just filing into the shallows, really. You really have to look at kind of why they do that. You know, coming off of a spawn, the females have lost 25% of their biomass and males at 10%. So they go to the basin for that post-spawn. They want an easy meal with the midges and the bloodworm hatch that's going on. And once they, regain about half of that biomass, then they will actually, or body mass, they will actually then go towards a forage option. You know, a lot of the forage in the lake from last year is almost a year old, so it's bigger, a little harder to catch, and for a walleye anyways, when they're extremely tired after doing the hardest thing they have to do all year. And so you start to see them piling in shallow, and for good reason. We have perch, of course, that kind of spawn in that same time frame as a walleye, so they're kind of out of the equation. But you start to see crappie, and I think you and Austin mentioned it just previously that crappie in that, I'd say 50 to mid-50 range water temp, they start moving into the shallows to pre-spawn and spawn. And while I know that, right after them, you have, your gizzard shad and your bluegills. All these fish have yet to spawn. So you really have a buffet of forage options for these walleye to feed on. And when you have that happen, it's kind of a no-brainer for a walleye to spend a lot of their time shallow and near the emerging weed beds that start showing up.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was the fish migrate to other feeding areas. On Lake McConaughey, that might be 2 or 3 miles. On Lake Oahe up in the Dakotas, that might be 30 miles. But on lakes like Chatfield and Cherry Creek, that migration might just be a few blocks away. It's more of a structure change than it is a distance move, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's just what we got. I always joke that we're fishing ponds here in Colorado, and Cherry Creek being, when comparing it to McConaughey, is just one of the bays out there. And so I call it a migration because, these fish just change locations based on the forage that's going to be readily available for them and easy meals. This time of year, I spend a ton of time in shallow weed bays. I'm using my side imaging, really finding those fish spots, basically, and then just picking them apart with really the same techniques that I use in pre-spawn, spawn, and post-spawn, all the jerk baits and paddle tails and such that I'm throwing, using these same things just in a whole different location. And that's a great point. Walleye in McConaughey, they move, 6 to 8 miles down the north shoreline and then chase the owl wife that starts spawning kind of early June period and move in shallow on them. So it's just kind of the migration that you see across the board when it comes to walleye and this post-spawn or early summer bite.
Oh, yeah. Now, how long do you think we'll see this? You said there, a lot of people don't realize how much they eat. Like you mentioned, the bloodworms and the insects that are coming off the mud flats. That used to be a huge deal, like in lakes in Minnesota, like Mille Lacs, where you would sit with slip bobbers off those those mud flats and maybe a leech to kind of imitate it, but you can't cover much water doing that, so you're really waiting for the fish to come to you. How long, once they start moving in shallow, how long before you'll start seeing, you'll change techniques, or you'll maybe start seeing them shift to the suspended fish, and when do you start looking to change your tactics?
Yeah, so your water temperature kind of dictates a lot of that, and of course the spawning cycle of their forage options dictate that as well. I typically will break apart the shallow water and really fish it out, take the time necessary to pick apart those areas. And really it's what I see happening is fish will typically follow the spawning cycle of the gizzard shad before they actually move out and start chasing bait fish. So once that gizzard shad decides to spawn, and a couple weeks following that, once those yearlings are out and, you know, balled up, that's when fish will typically pull off of the shallow structure and go on to main lake structure or out into that main lake, as opposed to running shallow weed lines. There's always going to be shallow walleye throughout the season, and then there's going to be your deeper walleye that just hang and feed on shad. So you really got to watch, I'd say, water temperatures in that 60 to 65 degree range will kind of, you know, cue you into live bait presentations, whether it's bottom bouncers, Lindy rigs, slip bobbers, stuff like that, with leeches and crawlers, of course. But once you get just past that point and you start seeing bait on your graphs, that's a great time to kind of pull up, and you can really fish all the structure. And, you know, main lake structure here in Colorado isn't a ton because we don't have massive bodies of water. But in most areas, you can go find those submerged ridges, humps, and saddles, inside turns, things that are just going to kind of funnel bait through and give an easy ambush point on.
All right, one last question before we let you go. It's supposed to be pretty nice tomorrow. It's probably one of the nicest days we're going to have all week till the end of the week. If you were going to go walleye fishing on the Colorado Front Range tomorrow, where would you go? One place.
You know, I would honestly, it's a 1-2 punch for me. Cherry Creek Reservoir is just fishing great. When you can pull lead core out there, I would be there. Now, with that being said, they're running a tournament out there both today and tomorrow. So you're going to have an excess amount of boats. So you might not want to hit Cherry Creek, but Chatfield, it has an awesome bite. So if you're fishing kind of that swim beach area down to, you know, Massey Draw and back south, you're going to be able to pull those mud flats just as well as how you would do it at Cherry Creek, with whether lead core or flatline trolling. And don't hesitate to go out in the evening. If you still feel like you have, you know, the warm clothes to wear to get out there, I would fish those mud flats in the evening time. Kind of a great opportunity there, and pull planer boards with jerk baits and such behind them, and you have a great opportunity at landing, you know, 15 to 30 fish in an evening. We've been doing it, and bite's been really good across the state really right now.
All right, my friend, we're out of time, but if people want more information or book a trip, it's Tightline Outdoors on Facebook or tightlineoutdoors.com. Dustin, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Terry. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. We'll have you on again soon. Dustin Ziegler from Tightline Outdoors, and, of course, they're a regular contributor. We're going to take a time out. We come back, new episode or new feature. We're going to start doing some we're going to work these in on a semi-regular basis, dog training. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.